Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. My name is Kevin Flesh. I am your host today. Scott Whatley is out. He's actually down in Texas. He's hanging out with a bunch of hunters down there for a big sports show going on for one of our sponsors. And so he's not here today. But we have a jam-packed show. We're going to be talking about our most recent trip to Alaska. And if anybody's following Sportsmen of Colorado on Facebook, and hopefully you are, you'll be able to go and take a look at the pictures of a lot of the things that we're talking about today. We will talk a little bit with Dan Gates. He's got an event coming up at the beginning of September at Rocky Mountain Roosters. And I have a special guest in studio this morning, or this afternoon, actually. My wife, Janet, is here. Hello, Janet.
Hello, Kevin.
So this is a little unusual. You've never been on the radio before, so it's kind of exciting for you.
This is very exciting. Yes, I'll do my best to keep Kevin in line. He needs that.
Yes, I do. And normally Red and Scott are here to do that, but since they're not here, you're sort of the person that will have to do that. But Janet is here because one of the things that we had decided when we were talking to Yes Bay Lodge about being sponsors for us is to have a little bit of a perspective from a female and for us to go up together, Scott, you and I, together up there this summer so that we could talk about it. And we're going to get into that this week in this show. Everything you want to know about the lodge and sort of going to Alaska and the perspective from Janet about not really being used to going to a fishing lodge, not traveling to Alaska all that often, and just the overall experience. So it's going to be a really good show. But first, we've got one of our excellent sponsors on the show from Len Lyle. And Dan Johnson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So how is the car business?
Well, the car business is great. The deals are fantastic. It's funny, Scott called me the night you guys got back from Alaska and said, Dan, you have to go. You have to go. He called me like four times.
Yeah, I know that you had the trip scheduled and you had something else that happened that hopefully you can get it rescheduled.
Yeah, I had an issue, but I'll go next year for sure.
And I will tell you, Dan, you will have a great time. And if you have the ability to take your wife or significant other with you, you should do it because Janet's going to tell you she had a blast. And in fact...
Oh, good. She went good, Janet. Great.
I did. I had a fantastic time.
And it was kind of amazing because she didn't expect to fish as much as she did, and she fished the whole time. So.
Great.
There are lots of other things to do, but we'll get into that. But tell us about the big deals that are going on at Len Lyle for the weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, still doing 20% off on most everything in stock, new Chevrolet 16 models. The 17s are right around the corner, so we're trying to clear the decks. And 20% off is a lot of money. When you take 20% from the factory and my discount, that say on a Silverado, that's $10,000, $12,000 off. So, I mean... that's the best deal of the year. And when they're gone, they're gone.
So, yep, and you were talking about those deals, I think, a few weeks ago, and I thought Scott was for sure just going to be going to the dealership to buy a new vehicle. So do you still you still have some pickups on the lot that you're selling?
I do. I didn't think they'd come back with it, but, I think that was the weekend of July 4th or something, and, GM came back with it. So we're rocking and rolling, and, it is a deal.
So tell the listeners.
Listeners are out there.
Yeah, so tell the listeners where you guys are located and how late you're open today.
We're open until 7 o'clock today. We're at 14500 East Colfax, basically I-225 and East Colfax across the 225 from the medical complex there. We're just like, three or four blocks east of 225, so real handy to the freeway. And go east and pay the lease. That's all I can say.
There you go. Thanks, Dan, and we really appreciate the sponsorship. And listen to the show on the podcast when you have some time to get excited about next year.
All right, I will. And I'll go look at those pictures.
Yeah, please do.
I will.
All right, thank that. Thank you.
Guys. All right.
And thanks. Thank you very much for Len Lyle for being such a big sponsor of the show. We really appreciate them being involved and go and patronize them. They have great deals. Dan does a fantastic job. Again, it's not one of those dealerships where you go and you got to haggle with the the guy behind the door that you don't know who it is. You're going to get upfront pricing. You're going to get great deals, and they do a great job on service too. I've taken the vehicles there, as you can attest to, Janet, and
they do a fantastic job, and their service is outstanding.
In fact, they helped you with a key at one point, didn't they, a couple of years ago?
Yes, they did. We had a bit of a key issue, as in we lost one, and so they helped us out getting a new one.
Yeah. So they've been a great sponsor, and they're just good people to deal with. So visit them if you're in the market for a newer used car, and Dan will treat you right. All right, so let's talk briefly, all right, briefly about Yes Bay and sort of the lodge itself and where it's at. So for those folks that don't know where Yes Bay Lodge is, it's about, I would say, 30 miles north of Ketchikan, Alaska. And as we learned in sort of preparing for the trip, Ketchikan is in the southeast part of Alaska. So many times people think of Anchorage as being Alaska, sort of. And Ketchikan is, what did we decide? When we did the Google, it was what, 1,600 miles?
1,600 miles away.
From Anchorage.
From Anchorage.
So it's essentially, it's just crazy to me how big Alaska is, first of all, because Ketchikan is similar to if you drove from Denver to Philadelphia, probably is about 1,600 miles, is my guess. So it's that distance from where you would think Alaska is. But at any rate, southeast Alaska, and it's a rainforest, as we also found out. Just beautiful country, but you fly from here to generally Seattle and then to Ketchikan, and then you take a float plane in from Ketchikan to the lodge.
And that was such a great experience. I had never been on a float plane. I'm not sure that I'd ever been on a plane that small. It's a six-seater, I believe. And it was just so exciting to fly in that low and be able to really see the mountains and the, or hills, mountains and the water. And it was just gorgeous. So that sort of was just the tip of the iceberg, really getting the excitement building as we were coming into Yes Bay Lodge.
Very true. And getting there from Denver is really simple, quite frankly. It's easy flight from here. Most of the time you go through Seattle to Ketchikan. Scott and I did it in a morning. You were traveling from another part of, we were coming from Minneapolis. So, but our flight from here to Seattle, no trouble, from Seattle to Ketchikan again. So we left here early morning on, I think, Monday. And we were in Ketchikan by 1 o'clock. It's what's interesting, though, of course, is you gain some time going. So Seattle's an hour behind us, and then another hour behind us again. So 2 hours behind us to get to Ketchikan. So you gain some time getting there. So in the course of a morning, leaving here early because we left here at 8, you can get to Ketchikan and then wait for that float plane ride. And normally they pick you up mid-afternoon to get to the lodge. It's what, a 20-minute, half-hour float plane ride?
About a half hour, I think.
And just that plane ride from Ketchikan to Yes Bay, I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, the mountains were incredible. You got to see, we were low enough at times, especially where we came over that last sort of ridge, where you could look down, you could see little lakes, ponds. I would imagine if we had seen any bears or anything, you could probably see them. We were close enough that you could get into that sort of detail.
The funny thing about the airport in Ketchikan is that you actually have to take a ferry from the town of Ketchikan over to the airport because it's accessible by water so that the float planes come in. So to me, that was exciting as well. It was just kind of fun to say, oh, I'm at the airport, but I'm actually going to walk down to a dock now for my flight.
Right. It was pretty incredible when we got there. And, of course, that's sort of the end of the Inside Passage, too. So you have the big cruise ships. And to see sort of the difference of where we were going and where they say in Ketchikan when the four main cruise ships are in, whether there's 10 or 12,000 people that show up, we were getting off a regular airliner and then walking over to a float plane that was seated of six people to go back to this lodge. And where the lodge is, there are no roads. There's no way to get there except for boats. So it's remote, I think. And you felt that right away.
I did, but it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
The flight in, as you come into Yes Bay, it's just stunning. And then as you come up actually to the dock while you're still in the float plane and you look up and you see the lodge, which is just beautiful, and the surrounding area around it, it's really breathtaking.
And I think Scott actually put online when we flew in and landed. I think he's got a video either on Facebook or on the sportsmanofcolorado.com webpage. Either one of those you can go to, or his main page, where you can see when we flew in. It was a beautiful, we had a good day to fly in, and so we had beautiful views and everything else, and then coming over and sort of banking in and banking into that arm of the bay where we landed. It was really cool, and he was in the front of the plane, because in a float plane like that, you have the pilot, and then you have the co-pilot seat that's empty, and they generally put a passenger in there, and he was in there for that first flight in. So really cool. So this is just the beginning. So we got to Ketchikan, we got to see all the float planes, we got to see what was going on there, and we'll talk a little bit about Ketchikan maybe after the break. But then we got on the plane and we got to Yess Bay, and then we were there for 4 days, fished for three of them, and just had a great time. So when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about Yess Bay and the experience that we had. Hopefully, stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law. Flesh Law will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303-806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Flesh Law, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
John Rush, during the afternoon rush. 3 to 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Kevin Flesh.
And I'm Janet Flesh, the better half.
And so we are talking about Yess Bay and our experience last week when we went there. In particular, Janet talking about her experience. And, you know, we didn't talk about your experience in fishing lodges before sort of introducing you and that sort of thing. So I first want to talk about this and not really let you speak about this, because I think I have a good sense of what your history is.
Oh, let's see.
So we've been married almost 20 years, and in that time period, we've done a bunch of sporty things, right? We've done kayaking in Belize. Before actually we were married, you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, went through all of those sorts of things. Very outdoorsy, but not much of a fisherman. Would you agree?
I would agree.
So,
however, compared to Kevin, no one is much of a fisherman.
So, all right. So I have a little bit of a head start relating to the fishing aspect of this. But I also have a head start in going to fishing lodges and those sorts of things, and lodges that cater to all kinds of things in the outdoors, right? So one of the reasons that we wanted you to come along is to talk about those sorts of things with the really with an experience of, well, I've done some of these things, but never kind of gone to Alaska like what the guys normally do and what I should expect. So let's first talk about when we're, well, you know what I mean. I mean, in the sense that you didn't know what exactly you were getting yourself into when I came home in January after I had met these folks and said, hey, we have a new sponsor, and we think it would be really fun for us to do this as a couple and then talk about it on the radio, right?
Right.
I mean, you kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about?
I had a few reservations.
Right. And so let's talk about your preconceptions about what you thought this was going to be before you went.
So, so I had never been to a fishing lodge, let alone a fly-in fishing lodge in Alaska.
And one of the things we need, predominantly these folks fish, right? Yess Bay Lodge. does a lot of fishing. They have some other things they can do too.
Right.
I mean, we found, we hiked one evening. There's a river that comes into the lodge right nearby. They have beautiful facilities. So if you're not into the fishing, which you didn't know if you really were going to be.
Exactly. I was sort of envisioning that maybe I would go out fishing for a couple hours one day, and the rest of the time I might, you know, curl up with a book or do a little hiking. And I was extremely and pleasantly surprised when actually I wanted to fish every day, all day. It was so much fun. But
so
yes,
let's get back to what your preconceived notions were before we left.
So I was envisioning, just based on some of the stories that I had heard from Kevin of some of the places he's been to up in Canada with the guy trip. I was a little concerned. I was thinking it might be, you know, kind of dark and dank and for sure would smell fishy, and
some mice running around,
and I would be the only female, and it would just be a little awkward, and I'd have to kind of fend for myself.
Because you knew that your husband wouldn't fend for you. Is that what you're saying? That's what you're saying.
Pretty sure Kevin would be out fishing the entire time. So I was so incredibly pleasantly surprised when we got off the float plane and I saw this really lovely lodge, as I mentioned before, and we were greeted right on the dock by Ryan, who is the manager there. Such a fantastic individual, and actually he really represents the attitude of the entire staff there at the lodge. From my perspective, that was one of the differentiating points for me. Just really wonderful people who it was a pleasure to spend time with, and who just provided the most exemplary level of service. It did not remotely feel like I was in some, you know, remote fishing lodge in Alaska from a service perspective.
In fact, when we were there, I don't even think you recognized until I said, I was asking, I think, Lucky or Ryan about, you know, where their generator was and things like that. You had no idea that we were off grid.
Right. We were. Yes, that's true. I didn't realize we were off grid. Yes. You know, we had electricity and hot running water and all of the comforts that you would want on vacation.
Right.
So that was really great.
So we get there to the lodge, and they have a beautiful facility, especially all their boats and everything are right there. They have they greet you on the dock, the dock facilities. Again, you can look at Facebook at the pictures, but I'll describe it as this, that they have, I think, up to 20 or 25 guests capacity for the lodge in any one given time. So they have probably 8 or 10 or 12 boats that they use for the guides and the guests to go out in. So they're all there. Beautiful floating dock, and on the dock then it has a covered facility where they do all of the fish prep and flaying and doing everything. So as soon as you get done at the end of the day fishing, they're grabbing all of your fish and they're taking them, and the guides and the staff there are processing those things. So you can't get fresher fish when you bring it home. I mean, I was amazed by just what they did. Normally in other places, you know, your guide or one of the other guys will take care of it, and they'll sort of get to packaging it and freezing at some point that evening. They were doing it right there.
Yeah, the second the boat pulled up, our guide took the fish out of the box and they took it right over to the facility where they would clean the fish and
you get your
package
pictures
them.
Taken. And
oh yes, we did, of course, get lots of pictures taken.
And the weight of certain fish, the largest fish, they keep track of all of them. But
yes, because some people, like me, got us like the biggest yellow eye rockfish. And of course, there's all of the picture taking. And I mean, I have to, you know, I have to brag about this for years to come, right?
We didn't bring any sharks back, so Scott really didn't have many fish that he could weigh. So, but that's another part of the story. So, but at any rate, yeah, so you'd have all of those things. And so we get there, we get the nice hello, and then they take your bags off to your room, and you're able to go. Let's talk a little bit about, so we walk up the long sort of gangplank dock pier thing, because the other thing is, in Alaska, the tide is incredible. I mean, I think it's a 16-foot tide, So it goes up and down like a tremendous amount during the day. And this particular, the lodge sits on sort of a point where a river comes in, and it looks like a regular seaside lodge for part of the day. And then when the tide is out, you have this beautiful stream that's coming in right next to it as well. I mean, I thought that was really pretty neat. And of course, I tried to fish a little bit right by the stream, and luckily didn't hurt myself. But at any rate, so we walk up and you get into the facilities, and let's talk about again what your preconceptions were and what you found once you got in the front door.
Right. So remembering that, I'm thinking it's going to be this small, sort of dark, dirty place, and it was absolutely the opposite. Big, beautiful, open, bright windows all the way around, so you had spectacular views. A big, beautiful deck that went all the way around that was covered, so you could go out at any time and just have these beautiful views of the bay. And then as we came into the lodge, it's really set up so nicely. They have a very open and bright and sunny dining area, and then they have sort of a rec area with a pool table, and then this really nice lounge area with a fireplace and big cozy leather chairs, and of course a little bar in the corner with a bartender. Shout out to Maddie, and the bartender.
You got to know pretty well.
Who I got to know kind of pretty well. And so it's such a nice, comfortable feeling, and it really provides an opportunity for the guests, if they choose, to just have a space to relax together and really chat and get to know each other. And that was very nice.
That was an extra bonus. I wasn't expecting that. And quite frankly, that sort of environment with the guests, everybody's there to have a good time in the sense of they're wanting to relax and things like that. And that space was wonderful after a day of fishing to go, you know, you put on some warmer, different clothes, maybe shower, and then you come back and have a drink before dinner, and you're able to chat with people to see how they did. And then it was just interesting. I mean, we had people from all over that we spoke with. I mean, Hawaii, the Midwest,
New York,
California. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really fun space to do that in. And then you've just got the beautiful views outside. You know, the fireplace is going. And remember, in Alaska this time of year, it's summer, but it didn't feel like summer. I mean, it was still pretty cool. We had one nice day of weather in the sense of sun, but otherwise it's gray and kind of almost like what it is today.
Mm-hmm. A little cloudy,
spitting a little rain. Not awful, mm-hmm. but just reminds you that you're in a different place. And so that space and the staff, you really have the opportunity to relax after fishing all day, because that's hard work, as you found
out. Very hard work.
Right, as you found out. And give you the opportunity then to sort of, oh, and we have to talk about the hors d'oeuvres too. So
yes, so I think was at 6:30, and so at 5:30 or 6, they would bring out this unbelievable spread for sort of happy hour, and it was generally seafood based, right. All freshly prepared. Nikki, the chef, is actually the daughter of the owner, and she is a 5-star chef. I mean, she is spectacular. And I think one of the things also that sort of sets Yes Bay Lodge apart is the fact that the food is outstanding. I mean, it is gourmet food, and really adds a lot to the trip.
Well, in fact, with the second to last night, I think one of the guides, in bringing up their shrimp pot, had a big octopus on top of it, right? And so he somehow wrangles that octopus into the fish box and brings it back. So for hors d'oeuvres one night, we had calamari. That's the pleasant way of saying the octopus that it just lost its
life. But it was the best I had ever had in my life, because it was so fresh. Yeah. It was incredible.
So it's that sort of thing that they do, that they have these spectacular resources that they really take those resources and sort of step it up a notch with what they have in the way of food. And we'll get to the food later. But so that's sort of the surroundings. The room was nice.
The room was very comfortable, you know, with obviously an attached bathroom. It was very nice. And we had views out onto the bay. It was a lovely way to wake up every morning.
It was. It was really, really nice environment. And then we've got the fishing, which was really good. It was really fun.
The fishing was so much fun. We had our guide. His nickname is Lucky. And there's a whole story around that that I'll let Kevin tell.
Okay. So Lucky is our guide, and he is the head guide. He's been there about 4 years. And they were very nice to give us his services for the 3 days that we were fishing. But Lucky gets his name because the first year that he's there, he is out with some guests, and they're traveling in the main part of the bay. And they're just traveling along. And they had seen some whales in the distance, but nothing too close. And as they're traveling along, they hit something, and they hit something hard enough in the water that it lifts the boat out of the water, and basically they travel a little bit of space, and the boat's off the water, as he describes, a couple feet for a while, and lands back down. Well, they hit a whale. They hit a whale that was coming up for air, and so that's, luckily they didn't have any damage to the boat, nor the people in it.
Or the whale.
Or the whale, as far as we know.
Right.
And everything was fine, and they got back to the lodge just fine, and that's why they call him Lucky.
Right, because when he started telling this story to some of the old-timers there, they were all just amazed that this had happened. So Lucky was our guide, and he proved to be lucky for us as well because we had a great time fishing.
Yeah, that's true. And all of their guides, from talking to all of the different folks that we did meet while we were there, all of their guides were spectacular. And we're going to spend a considerable amount of time after this break talking about the fishing and what we did, because there's multi-species there and we had different ways of catching them. And so I think we'll cover that after the listeners hear about our sponsors, and we will be right back.
At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And because we know that your pet will have many different needs throughout its life, we offer complete pet care services every day, all at one location. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care, surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or toys, we are here for your pet 7 days a week. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we know that you want the very best for your pet, which is why you can count on us to provide top-notch care in everything we do. We are certified with the highest rankings by the American Animal Hospital Association and hold a gold star rating with the Better Business Bureau. You and your pet can visit us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more about us by visiting our website at lonetreevet.com or just give us a call at 303-708-8050.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesch for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store, family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Midday Matters, hosted by Steve Curtis. Weekdays at 11 on KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM, The Source.
Way up.
Come to
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Kevin Flesh, co-host Janet Flesh.
Yes, the better half, once again.
At any rate, we are going to continue our conversation about Alaska, but we have a wonderful guest that's just joined us. Dan Gates, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking time out of your day to talk to us about an event that's coming up with your organization here very soon.
You bet. I do appreciate it. So, I'm actually in Salida right now on site for the Colorado Sportsman's Roundtable meeting, so I took a couple of minutes and figured I'd step out and give you a holler.
Hey, I really appreciate that. So let's talk about the 40th annual Colorado Trappers and Predator Hunters Convention and Rendezvous. So,
yes, sir.
So this is going to be September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and it's at Rocky Mountain Roosters. Is that right?
Yeah, it's out of Brett's place, north of Calhoun, east of Colorado Springs.
Absolutely. And anybody that needs to know where that's located can go to RMR's website. And I think it's RockyMountainRooster.com. You know, I do believe so. I'm a member out there. And this sounds like a fantastic event. So let's talk about it. What's going on?
Well, it's our 40th annual convention and rendezvous, like you mentioned. The Colorado Trappers Association was formed back in 1975. And in 76, they decided to carry on with the traditions of the old school trapper mountain man rendezvous, only with a contemporary flair. And ever since then, it's been progressively growing and growing. And it's an opportunity for sportsmen, trappers, fur hunters, and predator hunters alike to be able to come together. There's skinning demonstrations and seminars and trapping and hunting demonstrations and seminars from guys in Colorado and Utah and Texas, New Mexico, and California, and guys coming from all around the country for this particular event.
You know, and what's really cool about this particular location, too, is Brett and Rocky Mountain Roosters has so much area down there. People will be able to spread out, and I'm guessing you'll be able to do all kinds of things on site during this weekend.
You bet. We actually start the weekend off on the 2nd. People will probably be coming in during the course of the day, and vendors and so forth being set up. And then that night, we've got a shotgun shoot competition that's open to the general public with a 50% payback, and 50% goes to the proceeds for the Colorado Trappers and Predator Hunters Association. All those proceeds actually go to the efforts to educate and promote and maintain the tradition and heritage of trapping and fur harvesting as a necessary part of wildlife management here in the state.
Yeah. So who are the folks that you really want to see come to this sort of event? If you're looking for the people that should take the drive down there and check it out?
Actually, you know, from the novice to the expert, I guess, anybody who's interested in extending their recreational opportunities and their wildlife management recreational opportunities, you know, past the deer and elk seasons and past the waterfowl and upland game seasons, predator hunting and trapping and fur harvesting is becoming a big recreational opportunity to get the kids involved. You know, you can do it over the Christmas break or Thanksgiving break and continue it through the weekends all the way through the end of March on most species. And it gives the people the chance to get outdoors to be able to, you know, to spend more time in the field and actually see what Colorado's renewable resources have to offer. So as far as who wants to come or who we want to come, whoever is interested in that aspect of it.
So tell me about what the Trappers of the Past camp is, because that's one of the things that you say is there.
Yeah, we'll actually have some guys that are the more historical flavored mountain men that they come and follow us around in different locations every year, and they set a camp up of what trapping used to be in the early 1800s all the way up until about the 1840s. There's also some competitions revolving around that old rendezvous flavor with a modern contemporary aspect to it. We've got a trapper's obstacle course. We'll have some live entertainment that day, but in a more historical flair with fiddle players and bagpipers and Native American drum beaters and just a whole gamut of things from exhibits and vendors and parks and wildlife exhibits to if you want to shoot a shotgun for the first time, there's places to be able to do that and competitions that day. If you want your kids to engage in a .22 or a pellet gun shoot, they can do that. If they want to learn how to shoot a bow, during the course of the day, there's a variety of things, including at noon that day, we've got a dunk a warden contest where we've got several game wardens from Colorado Parks and Wildlife that are sacrificing their limbs to be able to come out and get in the ice cold waters of a dunk tank for the promotion of conservation efforts.
That's fantastic. So if you have a favorite game warden that you'd like to see dunked, I'm guessing this is the time to do it. If you'll probably let us know who they are once you have the lineup set up.
Yes, sir. And I think this is the only venue in the state of Colorado where you can actually get even with a game warden, whether you like him or not. So,
and like you said, lots of stuff for the kids. I'm guessing I've seen the interactive shooting and archery exhibits. I think those are the same ones that are at the ISE show, right, for Parks and Rec or Parks and Wildlife now?
Yes, sir. Same type of stuff. Parks and Wildlife has really bellied up to the bar the last several years and coming up and helping the organization promote what we're doing. This year we're at Breath Place. Next year we're at the Colorado Youth Outdoors facility up by Fort Collins. But it's an opportunity to get people involved in something that maybe they haven't been involved in.
Right.
And if you look at you know, as short as seasons are compared to the rest of the time that's available in the course of the year, predator hunting is matching your wits against something and that you're actually trying to get to come to you. And more often than not, it's coming at a rapid pace.
Right.
Fur harvesting, as far as trapping, is matching your wits with the animals that Colorado has and learning how to track and learning how they live and learning where they eat and trying to figure out how you can actually, you know, cut that animal off to a point to where you're ahead of it as opposed to behind it. And there's a time-tested tradition in this whole process, and it's an intricate sport. It's a great recreational opportunity to get people involved outside of the regular seasons, and it's something that we strive to continue to educate about. But the tradition and heritage of what trapping and fur harvesting is in this state, I mean, it begins all the way back into the late 1790s, early 1800s.
So, Dan, if folks are interested after hearing about this, how do they contact you or the organization to get tickets, and how do they get more information?
One of the best ways is to actually go to our website, and it's coloradotrapper.com. If they'd rather talk to somebody, like some of the older guys might, or some of the people that aren't computer literate like myself, you can also call 719-275-4077. But all of the information is available on that coloradotrapper.com website.
So anybody that's listening, just remember coloradotrapper.com. Go to that website, take a look at it. All of the information is there that we've been talking about. And again, September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, it's going to be out at Rocky Mountain Roosters. And that's a little bit of a drive, but I tell you what, it's a beautiful drive, and it's a nice spot to have this event. And good luck. It sounds like a great event, Dan.
I do appreciate it. I did want to just briefly give kind of a plug to let people know who is actually participating in this as well. If you
please.
Mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Safari Club International is a sponsor, as well as Davis Tents up in Denver, a Pueblo Toyota. We've got Cabela's, Sportsman's Warehouse, Parks and Wildlife, Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, the Trappers Rendezvous. And we got a whole list of people that really stepped up to help promote this in the past and currently. So there's some pretty good opportunities to capitalize on the auctions and raffles and the barbecue and the drawings and stuff. But it's all supplied to make it happen from all of those previously mentioned people that are sponsoring us as well.
You know, you bring up a really good point with the sponsors, as well as the fact that you are going to have some raffles and gun prizes. So talk a little bit about not only all of the information you're going to be giving the people once they get there, but also talk about the stuff that people could win in the event that they're lucky.
We've got a bunch of rifles, shotguns, handguns that will be either drawn and or auctioned off through raffle drawings and so forth. You will have to pass a background check, which will be available on site. There's everything from trapping and hunting and outdoor-related type items as far as the raffles and drawings, and then at the live auction after the barbecue that night. There's a opportunity for people to camp over the weekend or for the day if they'd like. If they'd like to come for the daytime on Saturday or Friday or Sunday, they're more than welcome to do that. But the opportunity you don't have to buy a raffle ticket, although there is raffle opportunities to be able to participate in as well. But there's door prizes and drawings throughout the day as well.
Fantastic. Again, that's the Colorado Trappers and Predator Hunter Convention and Rendezvous, September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's going to be out at Rocky Mountain Roosters. And that's technically, I think, in Callahan. Is that right?
That's in Callahan. It's Elbert County, but it's easily accessible from I-70 there, coming down from Elizabeth. I think it's Highway 86. And then if you go east of Colorado Springs on Highway 24,
right.
Easy to find, easy roads. There'll be signage and stuff up, but But there again, all the information can be found on our website with the flyers that can be printed off as well. And that's for the shotgun shoot on Friday night and then the entire event over the weekend from Friday through Sunday.
Fantastic. And if you want to go to their website, it's coloradotrapper.com. And if you want to go get a hold of Dan or anyone relating to this particular event, 719-275-4077. Dan,
yes,
I appreciate you taking the time this afternoon. We'll continue to talk about this throughout the following weeks so that we get lots of folks down there to enjoy this fantastic event.
I do appreciate it, and look forward to maybe everybody coming out and partaking in what we actually try to strive for.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too. That was Dan Gates from Colorado Trappers and Predator Hunters Convention and Rendezvous. And what a great event. Sounds like a great time.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, I think we're going to be camping that weekend in Rocky Mountain National Park, so we will not be able to partake. But that's the way it goes. So many things in Colorado to do. All right, before the break and before Dan, we were just about to talk about the fishing. So let's talk about that fishing a little bit and the fact that when we were there at Yes Bay Lodge, Yes Bay Lodge is in a place where they have salmon that are coming up the bay. They're going to be spawning up in the creeks and rivers around that area. So you have pink salmon, silver salmon, you've got some chum, king salmon, all that are coming in from the ocean to spawn and die, unfortunately, but for our benefit because we're able to fish them as they're coming up to do their thing. And then you also have halibut. So basically then you have also the bottom fish. You have halibut, rockfish, yellow eye, and the other types of rockfish that you can fish a little bit different way, or at least we did, and both are make up really a fun trip because it's not like sometimes where you go and you just salmon fish where you're trolling or you're doing something, you're casting, and you're doing that all day. With the way that they've got it set up, you'll troll and do the salmon fishing for part of the day, and then you'll do the bottom fishing for the other part of the day, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about our actual fishing experience in doing both of those things and how Janet caught the biggest yellow eye of the trip. Right after this.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law. Flesh Law will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303-806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Flesh Law, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you are lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser Rifles, Sitka Gear, and Night Force Optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
John Rush during the Afternoon Rush, weekdays from 3 to 6 on KLZ 560.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Kevin Flesh.
And I'm Janet Flesh.
We are your co-hosts for today. Talking about Yes Bay Lodge. We don't have a whole lot of time left, and we haven't even really talked about the fishing. So let's talk about the fishing, Janet, in your perspective, because as we've said earlier on in the show, not a lot of experience in this sort of fishing, right?
Right. So I was a little concerned that I really wouldn't know what to do, or that I would feel a little nervous about it. But lucky, our guide was absolutely fantastic. He had an amazing way of explaining very clearly what to do and how to do it, and yet not sounding like he was being condescending to me at all, which I really appreciated.
And both you and Scott needed some help. I did too. But Lucky was really good about sort of explaining what we were doing so that when we did have a fish on, you knew what to do.
Exactly. And he was happy to jump in and help at any time, but he also understood how much fun it would be if I was able to do it myself. So he just talked me through it. And I'll tell you, that very first fish that I think the very first one I caught was a silver salmon. And just bringing that in on my own, reeling that in, and then he netted it and brought it into the boat. It was such an exciting feeling. I think he was maybe as excited as I was to see me with my first salmon. Yeah, that was really fun.
And later on in the trip, we had situations where he was helping you through the, because it was a little complicated, because we were using downriggers and you were trolling, and so there were times where you thought you had a fish on, but you weren't sure because it didn't hit enough. It hadn't taken enough pull off of the downrigger to pull it off. And so then he was trying to help you sort of pull it off the downrigger to fight it yourself. And there were points in which he wanted you to do it all. And then there were times where he was like, well, just let me do it. And he would get frustrated at himself about how he's like, yeah. I need to let you do this.
He wanted me to do it. Yeah. So it was really fun. And he was just right there the whole time giving me whatever kind of verbal instruction and support that I needed.
And so for our listeners, we were trolling for these salmon. We had an idea of where they were because they were jumping everywhere, right? We
yes.
saw fish all the time.
Yes, which was so fun to be in the boat and just looking out and seeing all of these salmon just jumping.
And so we would troll, and we basically did a rotation. We had two rods out that were trolling at different depths, and we were using one day we were using regular lures with nothing on the end of them, and then sometimes we'd have hooks with herring and little hoochies, they called them, right? They were a little squid pattern. And then you'd sit and you'd be up or you wouldn't be up and you'd hang out. And talk about that and how that fishing experience was something that you actually in the end liked, right?
Right. So you would kind of take turns. So and we would get a fish on, whosever turn it was, jumped up and started reeling in the fish. And so that was fun too, because you got to have a little bit of a break when you needed it. And it was just as exciting when other people were bringing in the fish as well.
That's true, because you had the other line and somebody else has to get that other line in. And then we were taking pictures for Facebook and taking some video. And there was always a whole bunch. It was really a team effort when those fish would come in. And we had a couple of doubles. Scott
we
and
did.
I had it. I don't
yes.
know. Did you and Scott have any doubles?
I don't think we did.
Okay. Scott and I had doubles. And so those were always interesting because the fish would go one way and you'd have to go underneath Scott, or I'd have to go over Scott in the sense of where the lines were and everything else. So that got a little chaotic at times. But overall, the salmon fishing was pretty good. And then that was the regular. So pink, silvers, and chum salmon, sort of the smaller salmon species. And then one day we did a king salmon. We also fished for them, and they're bigger. And we caught some of those. You caught a nice sized one. I caught a nice sized one. And then Scott caught a couple that were just under the limit, right?
Yes. So that was sad for him because he had to throw them back.
Yes. And he didn't like throwing anything back.
No. No.
And the regulations up there, because of the resources, especially relating to the king salmon, is you can't keep any fish that's under 28 inches long. So we'd have them come in, and the one fish that I caught was a big one, so there was no question that was over the limit. Yours, we weren't sure when you brought it in. And they get into that bigger size category, and they were harder to bring in, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a workout.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they jump, and you're worried that you're going to lose them. And,
right.
And so you caught a nice, it was about 30 inches, I think, 31 inches, something like that. So a nice size king salmon. And then Scott caught two that were just under 28 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't very happy about that. But he did a nice job catching those as well. We just had to throw them back.
But we took pictures.
We did take pictures. And so that was the salmon fishing. And then we would do that a lot of times in the morning for a couple hours, depending on how things went. The limits there, I think, were 5 or 6 fish a person. We never really limited out on salmon, but we'd do that for a few hours, and then we would go bottom fishing. And talk about what the bottom fishing was like.
So the bottom fishing, first of all, was amazing to me because we were fishing at depths of like 300 to 500 feet. And just thinking about the fact that you had a lure down that low was kind of amazing. And then when you would get a fish on, so I think halibut was the first that we fished for, and that was at a depth of about 300 feet. Boy, it was just such an exciting feel because you know, there was a whole bit of a process where you would get a bite and then you'd pull it up a little bit and then you'd set the hook and then you would just start reeling that in. And of course, the halibut are really fun because they're shaking their heads and swimming around. And Lucky had this amazing ability to basically predict exactly what it was that was on the end of the line. And he was right most of the time, and we'd you know, pull it up, and then once we got it up close to the boat, he would net it, and it was just that was very exciting to see what you actually landed once it got in the boat.
Because it takes you a while at 300 feet just to get a small. So we caught some smaller rockfish that were 5 to 6 pounds. It would still take you what 5-10 minutes to get that fish in, or we caught sharks. I caught a skate, which is sort of between a shark and an array.
Very strange looking.
Yes. And then we caught halibut. And of course, the halibut, again, because we were guided in Alaska, the regulation is you could keep anything under 43 inches. And then between 43 and 80 inches is a slot that you can't keep. And we caught, so the first two fish that I caught were 46 and 48 inches. And again, Scott was really upset by the fact that we caught this great big huge halibut and we had to toss them back. And we've got pictures of those as well. But those were really nice fish. And then you caught a smaller halibut one day. And the belt and the whole thing where you needed help. And they were really fun to catch. We've got a couple of minutes, though. We've got to talk about your yellow eye that you caught and what that experience was like. And what you thought of fishing for those fish in general?
Well, so yellow eye look like they kind of look like giant goldfish, really. Which, of course, I had no idea what it was going to look like until it was in the boat. But you're fishing at a depth of about 500 feet, and boy, when those when you get those and start bringing those in, you know it because I think the one I got was almost 9 pounds. And that took quite a bit of effort to get into the boat. And then, you know, we were told that a 10-pound yellow eye is approximately 100 years old. So mine was 9 pounds. So I guess it was like a 90-year-old grandpa. So that was, you know.
Sort of sad for you.
Sort of sad for me. But that didn't keep me from getting my picture taken and us taking it home and getting it cleaned.
Well, and unfortunately, because of the depths that you're bringing them in and that particular fish, their swim bladders are such that you can't return those back. They have died or will die. And so you can keep one of those a day and two for a whole year. So those are the sort of fish species and what we did relating to the fishing. Spectacular time. I mean, you like we said earlier, you were expecting maybe a couple hours the first day and go back to the lodge. And the first day we did go back for lunch.
Right.
And then the last 2 days that we went, we actually packed lunches and were out all day. So we left the lodge at 7 and we came back at 5 p.m.
And it was spectacular. And in addition to the fishing, of course, there's all kinds of wildlife that you're seeing. There's seals and sea lions and eagles and loons and other types of birds. So that makes it really fun.
Yeah.
We went over to near a hatchery one day and we were able to see bear up on the shore, which was really spectacular. I hadn't had the opportunity to see bear in the wild before, so I enjoyed that.
Well, so we've run out of time. We've got probably a whole nother show to talk about all of the other things, the food, the bread pudding. all of the stuff that we had in the way of just a fantastic experience there at Yes Bay Lodge. And so if you want to take a look at, go to their website, yesbaylodge.com. Certainly take a look at our Facebook photos. You can see what we were talking about. We tried to document our trip as best we could. And just a fantastic experience. It was fun to have you with me because it was. That's the other thing with these sorts of experiences. As many times I go on those and I come back, and you try to explain it, and we've tried to explain it on the radio today, but it's difficult to really explain it unless you've been there.
I was really happy to have the opportunity to share this with Kevin.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's his passion, and I certainly enjoyed it so much more than I ever expected that I would.
And of course, now you understand when I come back for these trips where I'm a little tired.
Yes, he's a little tired. I used to give him a hard time about that.
So you're listening to Colorado or Sportsman of Colorado. Again, my name is Kevin Flesch. You can always take a look at Facebook and see what we're up to and all of the exciting things that are going on in Colorado and throughout the Western states. It's the end of another show. Until next week, have a good weekend and be safe. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.